Help us to commence this evening with hymn 722. What am I and where am I? Strange myself and paths appear. Scarce can lift a thought on high, or drop one heart-feeling tear. 722.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we will read the book of the Exodus, chapter 33. The book of the Exodus, chapter 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of the Congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, Say, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he now help us in prayer. Almighty and most gracious Lord, we pray thy blessing upon the service of thy house this evening, that thou wilt graciously be present with us. Oh, do shut out the world and shut us in with thyself, and lift us above inferior things, and set our affections on things above. We pray to meet under the influence of thy grace, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may thy grace reign, touching our hearts, making them soft, blessing us with true repentance and living faith, and enabling us to approach, to draw near. Inner court worshippers, may it be having boldness to enter even into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, the invaluable blood, our only hope, our only play. So we would confess our failures and sins and seek thy mercy, thy forgiveness. Lead us by faith to Calvary. We pray to behold that scene of matchless grace. It is Jesus in the sinner's place. Oh, may there be the drawing near, the vital contact. Do send us help from the sanctuary and strengthen us out of Zion. Teach us the value of the blood-sprinkled mercy seat and teach us how to pray. May we know that nearness to thyself, the union, the communion, no more far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. And do lead, guide and direct us in our pilgrimage, we pray. And ever hold us fast and keep us near thee. And we pray thou wilt come walking to us over the stormy waves, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Oh, with the hymn writer here we would begin. Oh, do I feel my need of Christ to save my soul from sin? We thank thee for the glorious gospel of the grace of God, the sacred truths it contains. But may we not be left just to speak them and hear them and sing of them, and our hearts remain untouched. Like poor Bartimaeus, we do not want thee to pass us by, as he heard that Jesus was passing by. But we pray like him, thou wilt come right where we are. Do not pass us by, and do for us all the things that we need. And there are so many things that we need. And above everything else, to be made ready, to be made right, to be prepared for eternity. To be found sheltering beneath the Saviour's blood. May we also know the sanctifying work of thy Spirit. The gracious effect of the love of Christ. Give us grace to walk worthy of our high calling. We ask thy blessing on the gathering this afternoon in the Sabbath school. The things that were spoken, the prizes distributed, may thy blessing rest upon them, and especially the children, and those who teach them. May thy word not return to thee void, but accomplish that which thou dost please, and prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. Do bless the families here. Parents, give them grace, bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And do bless the children and the young people at home and chapel and at school and college and hospital and work. And help them by thy grace to stand, and oh, may it be choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Teach them well that one thing is needful. And we pray for the congregation. Bless those who are seeking thy face. and may they find thee. And those who want that sweet assurance and that gospel liberty, loose them and let them go. Those walking in darkness who want the Sun of Righteousness to shine upon them with healing in his wings. But we do pray especially where there are those satisfied with a form of godliness with no reality, that thou wilt awaken them to see that weighing in the balances their religion is found wanting, and enable them to look for all to Christ. Bless the preaching of the gospel in this sanctuary. Do send faithful, gracious ministers, and do help them and do bless them. Let thy hands be sufficient for them. Be thou a help to them. We would pray, and we pray for all our ministers this evening, some preaching, some returning home, maybe under thy shadow. And we pray for our dear friend back at Bethel, speaking in thy name. And do bless him and bless them. We do pray and be a wall of fire round them, and the glory in the midst. Oh, do return in mercy to our churches. May the wall still be built, and the line stretched out over Jerusalem, the clear evidence that thy work is going on. Go on, thou mighty God, thy wonders to make known, till every sinner bought with blood shall trust in Christ alone. Bless those who have come this evening seeking a word in season, and those who were cast down, and those with mountains in their pathway, those seeking thy will. We pray for those unwell. Especially we pray for all those here in bereavement, that their hearts might be comforted. Oh, that the heavenly Comforter might ascend and appear with those consolations he alone can give, as he speaks to the heart. We pray for those unwell, and for those in trouble, those with hard things. We do pray for those who are growing old. May it be, whatever be your state or case, the Lord himself be near. We thank thee for thy holy word, and pray thy blessing on its circulation throughout the earth, and the godly literature, and the faithful preaching of the everlasting gospel, may it be to the praise and honour and glory of thy name. And in our pilgrimage, do be with us. The keeper of Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Oh, do preserve us in our goings out and in our comings in, as thou hast so kindly promised. So we would be found looking by faith to thee alone, that thou wilt send down thy blessings from above, lead us to Christ, our only rest. Bless the word of thy grace this evening, that it might be in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And accept of our thanks for every mercy, every favour. May we see thee going before us in the unknown way, and give us grace to follow. Oh, to speak the honours of our King, his form divinely fair. We seek these blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn 804.
Thank you.
with the Lord's help, I will speak to you this evening from the chapter we read, Exodus chapter 33, reading verses 21 and 22. The book of the Exodus, chapter 33, verses 21 and 22. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." The 33rd chapter of the book of the Exodus, verses 21 and 22. "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." At the beginning of this chapter, Moses, the man of God, was in deep trouble. And his trouble was this: Israel had grievously sinned, and the Lord had threatened no longer to go with them. To fulfill his promise, to bring them safely into the promised land, he would send an angel, but he himself would not go with them. Now, that was Moses' trouble. And a created angel was not enough for Moses. And so he pleaded with the Lord, and he pleaded on the grounds of grace, because Israel didn't deserve it. But he pleaded on the grounds of grace alone. And the Lord very graciously answered him. But Moses' concern was this: "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." How could he go on in the wilderness? How could he continue? And I'm sure some of you have felt that at times, with things before you, problems before you, your journey before you. How can you go alone? Well, it's the Lord's presence you need. "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And oh, that answer. "And he said." That's the authority of it. "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." May the Lord give that sweet, comforting assurance to some of you this evening, those of you who are seeking the Lord's gracious presence with you in what lies before you, and in the way you have to go. But you see, Moses was encouraged. He got one answer to prayer, and so he presses for other answers to prayer. And you know, beloved friends, there's a point of gracious experience here. There'll be times in our little lives when we know the Lord's answered our prayer. Well, may that be the time to press for further answers to prayer. I had one occasion like that in my life. It was more an outward thing, and I'd prayed for it for some time. And I got a letter one morning, and that prayer was very graciously answered, and I felt a thankful spirit. But then that inward feeling, well, ask for some blessing from the Lord. If it's not irreverent language, take this opportunity. And so I tried to pray for a spiritual blessing, and the Lord most kindly granted it. Now, that's what Moses did here. The Lord had given him one answer, so he prays for another. And that kind of praying doesn't dishonour the Lord, you know. It does with people on earth, doesn't it? If you go and ask someone for a favour, and they give it you, so immediately you ask for another. Sometimes they're offended, sometimes they're insulted, but not the Lord. He says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So now Moses, having the sweet assurance of the Lord's gracious presence, he puts this remarkable prayer, show me thy glory. And again, in the riches of his grace, the Lord answered it. What a prayer. Show me thy glory. But here, as we come to this word I've read this evening, there's that problem, that great question. How can a sinful man see the glory of God and yet live? Is it possible? Is there any place on earth, any place where we might see the glory of God and still live? That was Moses' concern. And really, you know, it should be our concern. We hope to reach heaven at last. It's our prayer. It's our desire. That place where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. But is there any place where sinners like us can come and behold the Lord's glory at last? Is there any place? But also here on earth. We have to pray, we must pray, we can't stay away, we have our difficulties, there are spiritual problems, there are providential problems, we have to go to a holy God, and there he is, with all his glory. Well, is there any place we can come before him and behold his glory? And he look upon us from his glory. And he make his glory pass before us. And yet we don't perish, and yet we live. Now that was Moses' great concern, and in the spirit of it. If led and taught by the Holy Spirit of God, it will be your concern, it will be my concern. Oh, is there any place where a guilty sinner can behold the glory of God and live? And here it is that the glorious gospel of the grace of God, as revealed in Christ, comes in. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place. There isn't any place under the law. There isn't any place that you and I deserve. There isn't any place in our activities. But the Lord said, behold, there is a place. Now this is it. By me. In Christ, there is a place where a guilty sinner can behold the glory of God and live. Do you find an echo with the psalmist? Oh, that I knew that secret place where I might find my God. Oh, but the Lord himself points it out, and the glorious gospel proclaims it, and he sets it out with a behold, the wonder of it. Behold, there is a place. A place by me. A place of hope. A place of forgiveness. A place of salvation. And it's by me, saith the Lord. There isn't any away from me, absent from me, far from me. There isn't any in you, there isn't any in the world. But there is a place by me, and it's in Christ. It's in Christ crucified. It's in his infinite merit. It's in his finished work. It's in his precious sin-atoning blood. Oh, that by faith this evening, beloved friends, you might view this, that the gospel reveals it, that there is such a place, a place provided by God in his everlasting purposes in the covenant, a place through the merits of Christ, a place made known in the gospel, a place revealed by the Holy Spirit. And may it be with that desire, if there is that place, may this be the place where, through mercy, my soul is found. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Now this is it. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And that rock was Christ. You know, beloved friends, there are many of the character offices of Christ and his relationships to his church set forth in Scripture. But we have this more than any other. The rock, unchanging, unchangeable. And there's a foundation here. There's a ground to stand upon. What do we sometimes sing? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. No, that's the place. There is a place. By me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now, it's good standing. The epistles speak of this standing, that it's a standing in grace. And it's a standing on Christ, the eternal rock, the rock of ages. Oh, there isn't any other place. All of the ground is sinking sand. Now, there's solid ground here. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. That is Moses, and that is those of you here this evening who are concerned on this point. Eternity before you, a lost, ruined, guilty sinner, the glory of God passing by. Now how can I stand? Oh, thou shalt stand upon a rock. You know, there's a very solemn question asked in the Minor Prophets. And it's a word that almost closes the canon of Old Testament scripture, and it's this: but who may abide the day of his coming? And when he comes, it will be in all his glory, you know, whether it's in the day of your death or whether it's the second advent. Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand? Who shall stand when he appeareth? There'll be millions who will sink to rise no more, but who shall stand when he appeareth? Now, this is the hope. This is the salvation of every sinner bought by blood. Thou shalt stand, but it's upon a rock. This is the place, the Lord says, there's a place by me. Oh, to have that standing in Christ. Standing on the rock. You might shake on that rock. And many of the Lord's people often shake on the rock. But they can't be shaken off it. And as the drowning seaman said, when he was questioned, he'd lain all night shivering on a rock before he was rescued. They said, "Didn't you tremble? Didn't you shake?" "Yes," he said, "but the rock never did." Now, that's the religion that takes a sinner to heaven, you know. You might be shaking on the rock, but the rock won't shake. There is a place by me. This is it. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. But usually in coming there, a sinner is led into this, that all of the ground is sinking sand. We find a few places to stand, don't we? Let me warn you against them. Especially some of the you younger ones. When we're young, we go to chapel, and we think there's plenty of time. We stand on that. We think when we're older, we'll turn to the Lord. We stand on that. We think other people in the congregation have a good opinion of us. They think we're all right. We stand on that. We might go on like this. The godly people are praying for us. Surely their prayers will be answered. We stand on that. All of the ground is sinking sand. Oh, but thou shalt stand upon a rock. And you don't know how long you'll live. And you don't know what lies before you. But that beautiful word the Lord spoke to Daniel, that closes the whole book of Daniel: "Go thou thy way." Thy way, whatever it's going to be, it's wisely hidden from us, its joys, its sorrows. "Go thou thy way until the end be." This is it: "For thou shalt find rest, and thou shalt stand in thy lot at the end of thy days." Oh, to have a standing in Christ, a standing upon the rock of ages, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. And this is the religion that takes a sinner to heaven. Nothing in self, everything in Christ. That standing on the rock, relying on the rock, depending on the rock, none but Jesus, from his blood, our hopes arise. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me." and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Now really, this kind of language has come into our Christian vocabulary, hasn't it, if you understand what I mean. I mean, most people know that language, rock of ages, cleft for me. I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. In other words, this is a shelter as the glory of God passes by. In other words, this is a hiding place. In other words, this is where the believer is safe. As the glory of God is passing by, he's safe. Because he's sheltering in Christ. I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Of course, I believe here it was literally so with Moses. God literally put him in a cleft of a rock. With us, this is spiritual language. In one sense, the eternal God put all his people in the cleft of the rock in his everlasting purposes in the covenant of grace, so that we're one with Jesus by eternal union one. But then you see, in the work of grace, the sinner is taught his danger. Well, that's a great point. Usually at the beginning, in the new birth, there's that danger. And if there's the danger, you want a refuge. And then the Lord shows you the refuge. It's in Christ. It's in the clefts of the rock. And this is what the Lord does personally, experimentally, by his Spirit. He puts you in the cleft of the rock as he enables you, by faith, to flee for refuge to this hope set before you. It shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. And so that sinner is safe, and that sinner is secure, despite his unworthiness. As the glory of God passeth by, because he's safe there, safe in the rock. You know, this is very similar to the Passover night. You're all familiar with the account earlier in the book of the Exodus, of that solemn Passover night in the land of Egypt. Now, that was a night when the glory of God passed by. But it was the glory of God in justice. It was the glory of God in destruction. And what about poor Israel? Well, in the spirit of it here, the Lord said, I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock. But in Exodus chapter 12, the cleft of the rock was in those houses where the blood had been sprinkled on the lintels and doorposts of the house. It was the same. The same refuge, the same hiding place, the same safety, all pointing to Christ. There, the Lamb of God, here, the rock of ages. It's the same glorious Christ. Oh, but that Passover night, the glory of God passing through the land of Egypt, bringing death and destruction to the firstborn in every Egyptian house, but to prove that Israel was no better by nature, no more deserving. That lamb to be taken, a lamb without blemish, without spot, the lamb slain. And the blood gathered in the basin, and then sprinkled, applied to the lintels and doorpost of the house, sheltering beneath the blood of Christ. Never forget, it's redeeming blood, it's cleansing blood, it's atoning blood, but never forget, it's sheltering blood. In that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath thy sheltering blood. And what a word that is. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the curse shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Safety beneath the blood, safety in the smitten rock. It shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Now, the only hiding place is in a cleft of the rock. In Israel, even today, there are many places you can see like a solid wall of granite, and there are little birds, there are doves, and they're sheltering here and there, but it's where there's a little crack in the rock or a little crevice. If it's a sheer rock, there's no hiding place. Now, what is this doctrinally, experimentally? If you consider Christ as eternal God in all his glory and all his holiness, then it's like that sheer rock. There's no hiding place for a poor, weary, wounded dove. There's no hiding place for the sinner. But the rock must be rent. There must be the cleft of the rock. And it's in the man Christ Jesus. And it's at Calvary, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, that in the wounds of Christ there might be a hiding place in the clefts of the rock. Who are these that fly as a cloud and the dust of their windows? These who cannot stand before the glory of God and are seeking that hiding place. I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock. The storm, it beats upon the rock, but it doesn't touch that little helpless dove who's sheltering in that cleft of the rock. That fierce bird, that marauding bird that's so dangerous and chasing that little dove. Well, the difference between the two, that once that helpless little dove is inside that cleft of the rock, well, she's safe there. One of the old divines said that the dove has been taught by the Lord in providence its weakness, And it has one defence and one defence only. If there's an eagle or some other fierce bird after it, and the only strength the dove has is in flight. In flight. And of course the old divines apply that to a sinner. Our sure defence is in flight. I to the rock of ages flee and find salvation, Lord, in thee. I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock. At the time of the Reformation, in its beginnings, most of you have read of Martin Luther, and I was a monk in that monastery under a deep sense of his sin and guilt. He tried everything to bring peace to his conscience. He starved himself almost to a skeleton. He wore uncomfortable clothing. He did the most menial tasks until he was just left in despair. There's a man named Staupitz. He was the overseer of some of the monasteries. He hadn't got the full knowledge of gospel light. He was still in the Roman Church, but he just had a glimmer. And he felt so concerned for Martin Luther in his sorrow, and he prayed that he might be able to help. On his task visiting this monastery, he came across poor Martin Luther in his destitute state. And he spoke that simple word. He said, "Brother Martin, look to the wounds of Christ." That was the first hope that Luther ever had. It's solid ground. Look to the wounds of Christ. "It shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock." It's a figure we have right through the Word of God. David constantly comes on this ground. He knew what it was to be hunted by Saul and find some little cave in the mountains, a hiding place. But then you come to the book of Proverbs. And it's the same vital point. The dove. "O my dove that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs." It's the same beautiful point, but it's a different figure. And I wonder if you're familiar with it. The conies are a feeble folk, but they make their houses in the rock. These conies are little rabbit-like creatures. And it's said that they're the most timid creature that you could possibly know. It's even said they're afraid of their own shadow and try to flee from it. When we were in Israel at Caesarea Philippi, the rocks there, they said the conies abounded, but oh, the difficulty in trying to see one. Some of our friends just managed to see just a little nose appearing out of the rock. But you see, they're feeble folk. What a picture of the Lord's people. Feeble folk, do you feel it? In many ways. But they're blessed with wisdom. And their wisdom is this: to make their houses in the rock. And once they're inside them, well, no creature could be safer. These are glorious gospel truths that were revealed to Moses here. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. And then it's if the Lord, he confirms it all. He says, I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I'll cover thee with my hand. As if it's not just enough for Moses to be sheltering in that cleft of the rock, but Almighty God, in the riches of his grace, condescends to hide him and shelter him and cover him with the shadow of his hand. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be beneath the Lord's shadow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the shadow of a Father's love, the shadow of the Saviour's precious blood, the shadow of God's almighty providence, the shadow of his divine keeping, the shadow of his hand. And he's going to cover his people with it. They say that that beautiful word propitiation in the Gospels really means the Lord covering his people. Covered is my unrighteousness. From condemnation I am free. For Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy, eternal mercy cries. This covering, the blood sprinkled mercy seat, it was a complete covering of the ark where the tables of the law were. But, you know, when we read of the Lord's hand, the Lord's hand, it usually signifies his divine almighty power. Behold, the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. A wonderful thing. As we journey on through this life, in hope of reaching the heavenly Canaan, to have a divine protector, unseen, yet forever at hand, to have his almighty arm, his almighty hand, stretched out on our behalf. And behold, when the Lord's arm is stretched out, who can turn it back? And when his purpose goeth forth, who can disannul it? But this almighty arm, this almighty hand, raised on our behalf and on our defence, and covering us and guarding us. Oh, what a confirmation! As if the standing on the rock was not enough, hiding in the clefts of the rock not enough. And then this wonderful confirmation, it's so personal, it's so intimate. This almighty hand of Almighty God, and yet it's this loving hand. And if you view it in Christ, it's that hand which was wounded at Calvary. Oh, but to be covered by it. Then we're safe. Then we're secure. despite all our sin, despite all our failure. Beloved friends, what glorious truths we have here, gospel truths for unworthy sinners. But may the Lord lead us into them. And the Holy Spirit apply them. And may we be sweetly assured that these things not only belong to Moses and belong to the heirs of bliss, but they belong to you and they belong to me personally. The Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by."
Collection last Lord's Day amounted to £680.20, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Javies Rutt is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. 383.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with us forever. Amen.